Journalism is facing a serious crisis. In recent years, mainstream media in India are increasingly vested in the hands of a select few. This situation, in many ways, prevents journalists from questioning authority. Journalism is thus failing to effectively perform the critical tasks it's supposed to fulfill in a representative democracy.
The term, speaking truth to power, goes back to the 1950s and the struggle for civil rights and racial equality. It has since been adopted by journalists and is now considered to be part of the job.
Many thought a journalist's role was to confront truth and power. But the exact opposite is happening. A sizable section of the mainstream press in India has let the powers decide what the truth should be. In this role, several TV channels and even sections of the print media have reduced themselves to being handles for those in power, a role they seem only too happy and proud to play. So when a global collaborative investigative project discovered Israeli spyware Pegasus was being used to target thousands of people, the Indian government found itself at the heart of an espionage scandal that sent seismic waves across the entire political world. The collaborative investigation, based on information accessed by non-profit Forbidden Stories and Amnesty International and shared with a host of publications into the Pegasus spyware, has revealed a list of potential targets for surveillance.
Just because some of those phones have been proven to have been hacked into or infected doesn't mean that all phones were. Now you can add to this list any name you want and without having the evidence to back it.
Therefore, more than 300 Indian phone numbers were among nearly 50,000 selected worldwide as being of possible interest to clients of the Israeli-based NSO group, maker of the spyware. In India, numbers belong to politicians, dozens of journalists, activists, businessmen, a Supreme Court judge, and even two ministers in Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government. The founder editors of The Wire, a popular news portal, were also targeted. Specific forensic analysis showed evidence of their phones having been infected by Pegasus. M.K. Venu is one of the founding editors.
I was not surprised because about 5 months ago, when the French portal Forbidden Stories contacted us, they already had some inkling that Wire had been targeted. At least five people associated either working for the Wire or writing regularly for the Wire, their names figured in the list. So Wire indeed was the most targeted media portal because Wire has been consistently speaking truth to the government.
With just a single text, it can bypass your phone's security and install spyware that grants complete access to your device.
The Pegasus spyware is a military-grade program used to remotely hack into smartphones. The spyware provides access to the contents of the phone, its microphone and camera, acting as a surveillance tool. A cursory scan of the list of journalists and citizens on the target list by Pegasus in India revealed their all-known adversaries or critics of the current government. Apar Gupta, the executive director of the Internet Freedom Foundation of India, says the controversy brings the government's surveillance powers to question.
This raises several disturbing questions. The surveillance powers in India as they are right now were made in 1996 by a Supreme Court judgment. These safeguards are there only for analog telephone calls and they do not account for the vast amounts and troves of personal data which are right now there on our smartphones. It also raises a question mark on whether the government did procure this spyware, whether it did utilize it.
Political parties were quick to seize on the issue and blockaded proceedings of parliament for weeks till the government clarified its position. Venu, one of the founding editors of The Wire, again.
Indian government has been silent so far. This is most surprising. They have not replied properly to questions in Indian parliament. Prime Minister or the Home Minister haven't said a word, even a general kind of statement that this spyware is a threat to democracy and needs to be capped.
Senior journalists have approached India's Supreme Court, seeking investigation by a sitting or former judge of the court into allegations of use of Pegasus spyware for surveillance of journalists, activists, and others. They have argued that such targeted surveillance using military-grade software is a grossly disproportionate invasion of the right to privacy. 17 journalists from 7 countries who were listed as potential or actual victims of surveillance through the Pegasus spyware have joined Reporters Without Borders, or RSF, in filing complaints with prosecutors in Paris against the Israeli NSO group. RSF has referred the case to the United Nations. The investigation comes at a time of heated, polarizing debate in India's fiercely competitive news industry. India has over 400 news channels in various languages, and another 150 channels are currently awaiting clearance. The subcontinent also has tens of thousands of newspapers and magazines. Many have decided to play down the controversy. The quality of Indian journalism is poor, as evidenced by the fact that India ranks 142 among 180 countries in the World Press Media Freedom Index, compiled by Reporters Without Borders. Celebrity anchor and journalist Rajdeep Sardesai sees this decline and believes that the media views the actions of citizens through the lens of nationalism, condemning those who question the state narrative as anti-national.
I think there is a crisis of credibility, which stems from a crisis of content, a crisis of ownership patterns, and a crisis of the nature of the relationship that now exists between those in power and those who are practicing journalism.
Some other media analysts say there is also unwillingness across the media to robustly challenge the official narrative on key issues, partly out of the profession's own failings, but also largely out of fear of being denied access to those in power. Serious issues like the beef ban, the crisis in Kashmir, dissent in Indian universities, and even the unrest in societies where Dalits, the lowest level of India's caste system, have been discriminated or killed, have received scant mention in media coverage. Pamela Philippos, a media commentator, says the lack of media outlets questioning the government is a dangerous development.
Many of the very powerful media houses are either corporatized themselves in the sense that they see themselves as business players and therefore act along those lines. So they use the profit and loss measures to actually measure media content, which is the wrong way to assess media content.
Given the current state of how the mainstream media works, it is increasingly difficult to expose tweaked data and murkiness in government functioning. The government finds its own ways through its own channels to head back. Behind Prime Minister Modi is a tech-savvy media team that promotes all his endeavors. That's what worries Rajdeep Sardesai.
I think my biggest fear is that slowly the media is getting delegitimized. We are losing respect that this is some kind of play acting, a theater, entertainment rather than news. Because of the open allegiances that channels have to political parties, the manner in which news is being replaced by noise, sense by sensation, all of this in the long run will result in the delegitimization of the media and our growing irrelevance. People will not take us seriously anymore.
Pamela Philippos feels the same.
The media, since it's already on board the government's agenda, will not play its required role in, say, questioning the Indian Army's role in Kashmir or in taking on the vigilantes on the streets who attack people for transporting cattle on the pretext that they are attacking the holy cow. So these are the developments, very disturbing developments, that have been specific to the current regime.
Many Indian journalists hope that this controversy will be a wake-up call for Indian journalism. The authenticity of the news must not be compromised, they say. Venu has the last word.
We have to learn a lot more about how this Pegasus was misused by various governments and how it went beyond its mandate of only addressing or only using it for curbing terrorism or other high crimes against the state.
Murali Krishnan, RFI, New Delhi.